Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. The biggest story, perhaps of the month, occurred this morning. The United States Supreme Court knocked down affirmative action. It punched it in the nose. It was a total knockout. It upheld Michigan's affirmative action ban. It said the people have a right to vote. The people have a right to control their own destiny, and that a few lawyers have no right to overturn what the people want. In other words, the Supreme Court did what it's supposed to do, uphold the will of the people. Now, the fact of the matter is, what's shocking me is that this story is not being covered by Fox, MSNBC, CNN, or any of the news bureaus. The first question you must ask yourself is, how far have we fallen as a nation with a free press when the biggest story, not only of the day, the week, the month, but perhaps of the year, is affirmative action being knocked out by the Supreme Court? It's hardly to be found on any websites. It's not on the Drudge Report, which I find shocking. That's normally my go-to website. Why is it not on the Drudge Report? Where is it on Fox News? Have any of the hosts talked about it? I have a question for you. Why do you oppose or support affirmative action? Why do you oppose or support affirmative action? Do you have any affirmative action horror stories? Are you a cop? Are you a fireman? Are you a teacher? Are you a student who had straight A average but was pushed aside in order to make certain that a less qualified individual of a different race was given your position or your scholarship? Well, my friends, this is America. And I said this 30 years ago. Without quality, there can be no equality. Remember what I just said. And the only way to guarantee quality is to eliminate jury-rigging the system through affirmative action. At the same time, we have Jeb Bush bushing amnesty. We have Jeb Bush bushing amnesty, demanding more high-tech visas, in other words, doing the bidding of Mr. Facebook and the others who want cheaper labor. I want you to listen to number clip 14 of Jeb Bush bushing amnesty. Clip 14, please, if we can get that going.
We need to fix our broken immigration system and rebuild one that is true to our immigrant heritage and economically driven. That would include a serious effort to protect our borders, of course, enforce our laws, and sanction companies that knowingly hire undocumented workers.
Okay, so he wants amnesty. Listen to clip 15, please.
It would include a robust guest worker program, the expansion of economic visas like H-1B visas, the elimination of country quotas, and creating a tough but fair path to legalize.
Let me explain what H-1B visas are. That's cheap labor for Facebook founder Zuckerberg and the other greedy pigs in the tech sector who want cheaper labor. There are millions of unemployed or underemployed American tech workers who have been thrown out of jobs so that these greedy billionaire pigs can make more money. There's no question about it. Don't tell me I'm attacking the rich. I'm attacking the pigs. And for them to buy Jeb Bush like this is disgusting. So question number one, why do you oppose or support affirmative action? Question number two is amnesty for illegal aliens. I oppose it. I oppose it primarily for economic reasons. But why do you oppose or support amnesty for illegal aliens? That's what I want to talk about. I remember what I said to you at the beginning. One of the biggest news stories of the year occurred this morning. The United States Supreme Court this morning upheld Michigan's ban on using race as a factor in college admissions. Did you hear what I just said? It was a huge victory for fairness. And what's even more odd is that a dissent was written by the most brilliant Latina in history, Mrs. Sotomayor. Remember, we were told she's the most brilliant Latina ever invented in the history of mankind? Well, she wrote an opposition opinion that took 58 pages. The 58 pages from the most brilliant Latina was longer than the combined length of the four opinions in support of the outcome. And I suppose it shows if you're really a brilliant person, you have to write more than the others who are not as brilliant as you. They're too stupid to write 58 pages in opposition. But it just shows you how lucky we are to have had affirmative action produce Sotomayor and Kagan on the Supreme Court. Lucky for us, Kagan had to recuse herself because she had involved herself in an earlier stage of this while serving in the Justice Department. The fact of the matter is that race-based hiring, race-based scholarship have no place in America. They never had any place in America. And if we still had a legitimate government in the state of California, Proposition 209 would be the law of the land, not gone around by the government, not of the people, by the people, and for the people, but a government of the criminals, by the criminals, and for the criminals. I want to ask you something. Why do you oppose support affirmative action? Why do you oppose support amnesty for illegal aliens? They're simple questions. While you're calling me at 855-407-282, I'd like someone to tell me why you think this story is not headline news across the land. That's a very important call, Pedro, for some people who can do that. Because I'm looking on Fox, I don't see the story. It's buried. I will go through the websites. CNN, you'd think they'd cover this story? Iceberg, twice the size of Atlanta, is on the move. No story about affirmative action being punched in the nose by the Supreme Court. Let's go to the other major websites that you may know of. Let's see, we will go to... Ooh, Breitbart doesn't even have it front and center. Oh, there it is. I'm sorry, they managed to slip it in as well. Let's go to the Daily News. Let's see what the Daily News in New York has to say. Wild at heart. Cardiologist racks up $135,000 bill during multiple trips to New York City strip club. I see. That's more important to the New York Daily News than the story about the U.S. Supreme Court punching affirmative action in the nose. You can't even find the story. Now, why do you suppose left-wing newspapers like the Daily News are burying the Supreme Court banning affirmative action? That is saying you cannot use race as a factor in college admissions. Is it because they don't want to offend Al Sharpton and his gang in New York City? What's the reason for that? Let's go to the other web. Well, you go to the other websites. Not my job. It's your job. I go to the websites. I'd like to know if you've had an affirmative action horror story. Even the Los Angeles Times has the story. Court upholds Michigan's ban on affirmative action. Despite all of the minority gangs outside pushing it, despite all the minority pressure groups, despite all of the screams by the illegal alien groups like La Raza and the others, the fact of the matter is affirmative action has no place in America. And let me tell you something else. People who are of minority, let us say, minority people, I don't think that they benefit from affirmative action when people start to question their appearance on college campuses when they got there on their own abilities. Everyone will doubt you forever. That's why we doubt Obama, because most of us know that without affirmative action, he never would have been a U.S. senator, let alone a U.S. president. That's a fact of reality. He achieved nothing in his life to justify being president of the United States. So I'd like to know your affirmative action horror stories, why you support or oppose affirmative action. I'd like to hear about amnesty for illegal aliens, why you oppose it, why you support it. And while you're doing that, I want you to have a laugh. Jimmy Fallon mocking Hillary Clinton for dressing like a man in clip number 17. Please, fire away. Oh, we don't have 17 yet. It didn't make it to the cloud. It's funny, though. It's very funny. Let's go to Andrew on WABC. Andrew, do you support or reject affirmative action?
I definitely reject it. However, I must admit, I have to say, thank God for affirmative action, because if it wasn't for affirmative action, we wouldn't have Dr. Savage on the radio.
That's right. Do you know that if there was no affirmative action, I would have been retired as a professor 20 years ago? First of all, they didn't hire me when I wanted the job. I spent 20 years as an immigrant son killing myself to get the number one gold-plated PhD, the best one I could get, with an almost 4.0 index, with my dissertation published in a major journal. These are big things. Major university, and nobody would hire me because I was unfortunately not qualified for affirmative action. As a result, I wandered in the wilderness for many years until I found myself in radio in 1994. But frankly, I would have been just as happy as a professor. I'd be collecting a nice fat check for doing nothing but screaming in the local town council meetings about how unfair America is. I could be marching outside red light districts saying I oppose something or support something. I could be lobbying for medical marijuana with my other retired college friends who have nothing to do but collect their fat pension checks. Think of all the other things I could have been doing but being on radio. So, Andrew, I agree with you, and thank you for affirmative action in that regard. Michael on KSFO has an affirmative action horror story. Go ahead, Michael. Tell your story right here to Doc Savage.
Okay. I had a job interview. I wanted to work in an advertising PR agency. I have a degree in advertising. I had all the experience necessary for the job. The guy says, I can't hire you because you're not a woman and you're not a Latino. I says, well, look it. I'm still qualified. Now, a sex change is out of the question. But let me tell you, how am I not a Latino? I'm Italian. We were the original Latin people. The guy says, that's not true. You're not a Latin. I says, yes, I am. We were Latin.
Well, I would tell you this. If the man told you to your face that he's not hiring you because of racial reasons, I think you might have a lawsuit against him. Did you wind up on your feet or not?
This was 11 years ago.
Okay, but wait, hold on. Now, this is it. Hold it. Wait, this is interesting. So you didn't get the job in advertising. What did you do instead?
I actually got fed up, and I moved to Spain for 8 years and taught English there.
Did they accept you as an affirmative action teacher because you're an English-speaking person in Spain?
They actually wanted me. They actually loved me as a teacher there because I didn't speak Spanish. Because every time somebody speaks Spanish and goes to teach English in Spain, the whole class just turns into a Spanish-speaking class.
Interesting, but you know, isn't it true that Castilian Spanish is a little different than the Spanish that is generally spoken here in California? I studied Castilian Spanish in New York City public schools for 7 years in college, and I find that my accent is actually much different than that of many of the folks I know who are in this country from other countries than Spain. Isn't that true?
Very true. Now, oddly enough, the Spanish will tell you that the most polite and truest form of Spanish is actually spoken in Colombia and Guatemala, where because of they almost speak it in the way it was spoken in the 16th century with a lot of politeness and formality.
Oh, the cordiality that we see in mafia movies, in other words.
Exactly. And in Colombia.
Yes, Don Corleone, I come to you with the utmost respect. I respect every olive on your trees. It is absolutely of dignity that I come before you on your estate. That type of stilted Spanish is still spoken in Guatemala?
The Colombians are famous in the Spanish-speaking world for being the most polite and in pronunciation, enunciation, all those kind of things.
No, it got them very far, that politeness. That's how they wound up being the drug capital of South America. I guess we shouldn't be as polite as we are, otherwise we'll wind up being ruled by Harry Reid as president. I don't think we need to be too polite in this country anymore. I think politeness has killed us here. But thank you for the call. That brings us to 19 minutes after the hour, the biggest story not only of the day, of the week, of the month, of the season, of the year, is that the U.S. Supreme Court just this morning punched affirmative action in the nose. It upheld Michigan's ban on affirmative action. It said the people have a right to determine their own future. It was Proposal 2. It was approved in 2006 by 58% of Michigan's voters. And what it did is amended the state constitution to prohibit discrimination or preferential treatment in public education, government contracting, and public employment. The fact of the matter is we had the very same thing here in California. We led the way, and it was overturned by one man who, as far as I am concerned, if I had the power, I would arrest him for stealing the votes of millions of Americans. His name is Justice Theldon Henderson. This Prop 209 was shopped directly to him. He was a former ACLU attorney, which tells you everything you need to know. With the stroke of a pen, just like Obama, he used fascism to write away the votes of 6 million Californians. Do you know where this same Theldon Henderson is today? He's sitting on his fat behind in Oakland, California, as a special judge of the police of Oakland, California, to make sure that they can't do their jobs, to make certain that the streets are safe for those with guns who don't deserve them. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Hey, you. The Savage Nation has moved. Listen to me, Michael Savage, from noon until 3 on the only conservative station in the Bay Area, Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
I want to say congrats to Chelsea Clinton last week. She announced that she is expecting her first child. That's great. That's great for her. Yeah, if it's a girl, it'll get some of Chelsea's old hand-me-downs, and if it's a boy, it'll get some of Hillary's. It's very, a little pantsuit.
See, they had a boo. The druggies in the audience don't like that.
It wasn't that hard of a joke.
I am so tired of Hillary. Okay, turn it off already. So it shows you even a left-wing comedian dare say something against the anointed female, and already the moron drug addicts in the audience start to bray like the morons that they are. I'll let it go with that. But we're talking about a Supreme Court decision that will affect everyone listening to the show and their children for years to come. And that was a punch in the nose for affirmative action. This is the greatest news I've heard in many a year, because the left never stops trying to pervert the law and the will of the people. And in this case, the will of the people has been heard by the Supreme Court. There's another topic, which is amnesty for illegals. Apparently, Jeb Bush is bushing amnesty. And I'm asking you, do you support amnesty for illegals? How can you? Why would you support amnesty for illegal aliens when the country can hardly support the people that are currently in the nation? Who will pay for this? Let's forget every other reason. The only reason that I can think of that even the most left-wing person would oppose amnesty is financial. If you don't like the health care that's coming, do you think you're going to like it even more when you have 30 million more people on the health rolls? If you don't like the educational system because the children are not learning, because so much money is being spent on ESL, English as a second language, etc., do you think your children are going to learn math, computer sciences, engineering subjects better when you have non-English speakers in the classroom? Use common sense and stop being a knee-jerk a liberal. Maybe one day you'll wake up. So those are the calls we're taking today on the Savage Nation. I have another story. The Supreme Court said today the police can stop vehicles based on anonymous 9/11 tips. That's another one.
Savage. Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
No one in America wants boots on the ground. I totally accept that. But they keep telling everybody that, don't worry, we're not going to have boots on the ground. We're not going to have boots on the ground.
Right.
Can we go one press conference without saying that?
Okay, so the warmonger McCain, crazy McCain mutiny court martial, is pushing for aid to the Ukraine with weapons. Money to get their economy back on track. Where the money comes from, I guess he can go to his master Obama and just print more money. And then he wants, of course, to arm the rebels, so-called, in the Syrian civil war. The rebels, as you know, are primarily driven by, I don't know how else to say it, by Al-Qaeda-oriented terrorists, our enemies. We're going to do exactly what we shouldn't be doing there. This is psychotic. And this is something that we could talk about, but I don't think it will have as much emotional appeal to you as what happened today in the U.S. Supreme Court. You're listening to the Savage Nation today. Why do you oppose or support affirmative action? Because today the Supreme Court said, niet, no, nada, never to affirmative action. This is the most important thing you're going to hear, not today, but this week, this month, this year. Even if it doesn't affect you, it will affect your children. And I believe in fairness, and all it says is there shall be no racial discrimination against anybody. It didn't say there shall be racial discrimination. It said there shall be no discrimination against anybody. I mean, how could you argue with that? I don't understand this. The court said that race-conscious admissions policies cannot be used. Cannot be used. And it says that voters may prohibit affirmative action programs. This is a huge victory for fairness, the American way. There's no other way to put it. And it finally got back to the Supreme Court where it belonged to begin with. And the justices said in a 6-2 ruling today that Michigan voters had the right to change their state constitution in 2006 to prohibit public colleges and universities from taking account of race in admissions decisions. And more importantly, the justices said that a lower federal court was wrong to set aside the change as discriminatory. So they overrode a lower court. The lower court was almost entirely Democrats, incidentally. So now you understand where the battle lines are drawn in the state of California, the state of Michigan, everywhere else in America. The battle lines are such that the Democrats always vote against fairness while calling themselves the party of fairness. It's as simple as that. We must ban race consciousness in America in order to have any fairness and reduce the resentment that is running throughout the land. Let's go to the callers, 855-400-7282. I want to begin this segment with a caller from WBAP in Dallas. BAP in Dallas. Angela, thanks for calling the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Yes, sir. Dr. Savage, well, first I wanted to say that I am a black American, so I think I have a unique perspective on this. I hope that I have not been affected by affirmative action because I believe in myself and I believe in my abilities. But, yeah, I wholeheartedly disagree with affirmative action. It's basically telling minorities that you're not good enough to make it on your own merits.
Well, that's how I see it. In other words, it tends to diminish the accomplishments of a minority who can do it on their own without the help of the government.
Yeah, exactly. If you have time, I have another point I'd like to make. While I do think that this is a great decision for fairness, as you said, I also think that everything that we're seeing in society today has more than one meaning. Historically, I like to go back to the Little Rock Nine because I remember reading about them. You know, they were black and...
Wait, say that again, Angela. You'd like to go back... Angela, I didn't hear that. You said you'd like to go back to what?
I'd like to go back to the Little Rock Nine.
Okay, I don't know who they are. Tell us who they are. I don't really remember that at all.
Oh, they were the first nine students to attend a white school whenever the schools were desegregated.
Okay.
And Johnson had to, put in the National Guard to allow, to protect them to go in. Well, I remember reading about them, and something struck me, that whenever they graduated, and this was obviously before affirmative action, at least before its effects were fully, in place or needed, whenever they graduated, like, many of them were the top of their class. In fact, I think two of them were, like, valedictorian and salutatorian. And so that obviously shows you that historically it was not necessarily needed, especially not to the extent that, we have it now. And I think right now it's a great thing that they struck it down, but I think that it's also dangerous at this point. And I really don't know what the answer is.
But wait, which part is dangerous? It's dangerous that they struck it down?
All right. Well, this is kind of broad, but how your new book is going to be the coming, how to prevent the coming civil war. Well,
oh boy, you remember the title of my book? God bless you. I wish I had one to give you.
Oh, I guess it's war. That's what you said it was. I'm sorry, but yeah, let me just try to make this point really quickly. So they basically institutionalized the concept of generations of minority Americans being dependent on affirmative action. Now, where it was not a necessity whenever it was enacted, it is a necessity now. Now, I'm not saying it's a necessity that needs to keep going, but I think that the powers of...
Okay, so you're saying there may have been... I think what you're saying is there may have been a time in America when there was a need for affirmative action to overcome in institutionalized racism. But you're saying that time has long passed.
I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying that after blacks got their rights, there was a desire to succeed. And I use the Little Rock Nine to illustrate that. That before affirmative action was felt in the generation.
All right, but you're saying today, but in the short run, you're saying you're glad that the Supreme Court today said that we shouldn't have affirmative action in hiring, correct?
Yes, and I'm saying that...
All right, thank you. I don't mean to cut you off abruptly, but I think you've made your point, and I need to give so many people chances on both sides of this issue. Okay, on the amnesty issue, that's a totally different kind of story. Jeb Bush is bushing it, and how he thinks he's going to get elected by bushing it, I don't understand, because most American people, even Democrats, oppose amnesty, not for racial reasons. They do it for economic reasons. How the heck can you not have the common sense to understand that flooding America with 30 million illegal aliens and God knows their families, etc., is going to decimate our hospitals and our schools and our other social institutions? We cannot afford it. The lifeboat is full. We will all go down with the ship. But let's listen to the callers who disagree. KVOR in Denver. Dean, you're on the show. Go ahead.
Hi, Michael. I love you like a brother, and I've been saying for 15 years that having you in this time slot could actually affect elections. But I'll get to my point. You have to be honest, Michael. For every illegal alien in this country, there's an American citizen giving them a job, renting them a house, renting them an apartment, selling them a car, etc.
All right, so what is your point?
My point is you completely seal the southern border, and I mean completely seal it. Then you even limit legal immigration in this country, and then you offer the ones that are here amnesty if they want it. If they don't want it, they can go back home.
Hold on. Now, let's say, so you're in favor of blanket amnesty for all the illegals who are here. Would that include the 30% of our prison population who consist of illegal aliens? Would they be granted amnesty as well?
No. If they committed crimes, they're out.
Okay, so a third of the prison population would be deported.
Very good.
Well, I'm asking you, even using your plan, you would agree that the 30% of prisoners who are here illegally would be deported?
Yes, if you had a crime.
Well, look, let me explain. Let me tell you what's coming, whether we like it or not. The oligarchy could give a damn less what you and I think, or what 99% of the American people think. The oligarchy wants cheap labor. The oligarchy wants lower priced workers, not only in the fields, make no mistake about it, but the greedy pigs who run the tech industry, who have tens of billions of dollars, are so psychotically greedy that they don't want to pay an American worker a fair wage for their work. Instead, they want to flood the country with more H-1B visas, mainly from India, from China, and from the other nations that are producing highly skilled technical workers who can take the job, but instead of paying them $75 an hour, they like to pay them $25 an hour. That's the only reason Zuckerface is pushing amnesty for illegals. It's simply the bottom line. Zuckerface simply wants cheaper labor. Zuckerface could care less about illegals, in my opinion. Zuckerface does not care about the dignity of the illegal alien. Zuckerface cares only about the future of Facebook. Zuckerface simply wants the cheapest labor he could possibly get, in my opinion. And so when I see these hypocrites marching arm in arm like they're Martin Luther King Jr., I laugh. I say, how many dumb people can there be to believe that Mark Zuckerface really cares about illegal aliens? I mean, it's as simple as that. It's about dollars and cents. And the Chamber of Commerce, as you can see through their candidate, Jeb Push is the candidate of the Chamber of Commerce. No matter what you think, they're going to pass amnesty after the midterm elections. The Republicans could care less about the what happens after 2014. And so you have to see what's coming, and you have to prepare for it. If you didn't like what Harry Reid said about the standoff in the desert, you're going to even like less what the power structure is going to do to this country for the sake of the bottom line. And there has to be a march against this. Bush is pushing amnesty as far as he can, as fast as he can. I believe that there has to be a 10 million man march on Washington to put the fear of God into these oligarchs, because otherwise we have lost the country forever. Okay? Now let's go on to the callers on this and other topics. We can mix it up a bit. If you have a really great affirmative action horror story, I'd like to hear it, because here in San Francisco, it's a city built upon affirmative action. So we have a fire department with women who can't lift hoses. We have a fire department with women who, during the last fire, set up a command post two blocks away from the fire so they wouldn't get their white uniforms stained with so much as a piece of the carbon that was falling out of the flaming building. They congratulated themselves on how much water they drank for rehydration as real firemen climbed the ladders to put out the fire. Yes, that's San Francisco for you, where the fire girls rule, all as a result of affirmative action. Well, let me tell you something. It's time for affirmative reaction. And when this affirmative reaction will occur is anyone's guess, but it will occur. One day this country will shake off the disease of political fear and stand up to these racketeers who have used a rigged system to garner $500,000 a year pensions and not be able to put out a fire because they don't want to stain their white uniforms. That's one man's opinion, by the way. I'm sure many of you would disagree with me. If you do, give me a ring. I'm a democracy. I'm not Harry Reid. You could call me, but you can't call Obama. You can call me, but you can't call Feinstein. You can call me, but you can't call Barbara Boxer. So tell me who the Democrat is and who the demagogue is. And so try to get through at 855-407-282. While you're dialing, I'll be wiling right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We're talking about affirmative action. Why? Because it's the biggest story of the year. Today, the Supreme Court punched affirmative action in the nose. I think it's bigger than the Ukraine. It's bigger than Russia. It's bigger than Earth Day, Birthday, Mirth Day, Your Day, My Day, His Day. All aboard. It's the Savage Nation. If you have an affirmative action opinion, we're open for business because we're not the government. We are talk radio, open for business 24/7. We take your calls. We don't speak in double speak. We speak in single speak. Alan on KQOH in Reno, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Doctor. The problem I have with affirmative action, racism is bad enough just as it is, but when the government gets involved, all common sense just goes by the wayside. You and I think we were probably both born knowing that just because someone's skin color is different than ours doesn't mean we need to look at them differently or treat them differently. You know, we just want to know, who are you? What have you learned? What do you have to offer? Are you a good employee? Are you a good employer? And whenever the government...
Well, I understand, but that was all distorted and warped by the liberal Democrat establishment when they imposed racial hiring, racial advancement on this society. It was a great disservice to the entire society and has created great resentment that will last forever until it's finally eliminated. And I think that the Supreme Court today clearly said it's time for affirmative action to go. It's been a curse upon the land. KSFO, San Francisco, Joan, fire away on your affirmative action experience.
Yes, in 1975, I was denied entrance into a small RN program, a nursing program, and I was told the reason was because my name wasn't Garcia or Lopez.
Well, I was just told by my call screener, Pedro, that his last name is Garcia, and he told you that. Now, it's very interesting to me. This is a very sensitive subject to begin with, but I'm sitting here in a studio and looking at a screen with two Latino guys on the other side. One controls my board. He could put me out of business by pressing the wrong button. The other guy controls the callers, and he could put me out of business by hitting the wrong button. And they're very good-natured. They're having a lot of fun today. They understand how sensitive the topic is, but they're not sitting here. I don't know. They're not upset over it. Am I right? You're working. You're not going to be waiting for me outside when I get off the air, are you? No, they're really nice guys. I mean, most Americans understand what this is all about. That, you know, my statement is, many years ago when I was denied a college teaching job, in spite of the great PhD and all the work I had done, I wrote a book called The Death of the White Male. It didn't go anywhere, but it was all about how affirmative action had shafted an entire generation of European Americans. And I remember the best line in that book was, without quality, there can be no equality. And now that I'm dominant in radio, in drive time across the land, maybe people will hear me. Without quality, there can be no equality. I'm Michael Savage. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock, we're going to rock around the clock tonight.
It is The Savage Nation. We're rocking around the clock tonight because the Supreme Court finally knocked out affirmative action, kicked it, knocked it out of the ballpark, and said no, niet, nada, never to race-based hiring, race-based scholarships. This is a huge blow against Obama, against Holder, against Boxer, against Feinstein, against Dancer, Prancer, and against Santa Claus himself, because you can't give away a man's birthright. You can't tell one man that because of his race, he's going to be put on the sidelines. It happened to me. It took me 20 years to climb back out from that, but I climbed out of it because I have a will to live. But I know that there are millions of men out there who don't happen to have my willpower nor my fortitude, who gave up. Men who could have been doing good jobs. We'd have better police departments today, better fire departments, certainly better universities, had affirmative action not been used to kick white men out of positions that they earned. Period. End of story. That's how I see it. If you disagree, you can call me. It's as simple as that. I live in a democracy. I am not a politician. I am not the government. I am not your senator. I'm open to hear the opposition viewpoint. They're not. And the phone number is 855-407-2822. Unfortunately for you, though, because of the popularity of the show, you can't get in the tent. So Pedro can now relax, go out and get a burger or something, because the lines are so full. People are hot over this topic. I know that they would be, because what's a bigger topic than a man's livelihood? The ancient Roman historian Cato the Elder wrote that the average Roman in those days was not really interested in what the legions were doing in Germania or in any other part of the Roman Empire. What the ancient Romans were interested in was the pebble in the shoe. So what did he mean by that? He meant the price of bread. He meant life in Rome. It meant, you know, the daily grind of life. How did the government affect him? That's all he cared about. He didn't care about what the armies were doing in a foreign nation. And that's why most Americans don't care about Ukraine. They don't care about Israel. They don't care about Syria. They don't care about anything except day-to-day living. And can you blame the average person? How much can they carry around in their head? I mean, isn't it hard enough managing your own psyche? Think about the psychic burden of your own brain, your own being every day. You got to push yourself to get up in the morning. You got to push yourself to brush your teeth. You got to push yourself to put on clean clothing. You got to push yourself to not push people around on the bus or subway. You got to control all of your animalistic instincts to get to work. Then when you get to work, you got to make believe you like the people you're working with. I mean, that's a big enough job unto itself. So who can be concerned about the Ukraine? Now you wake up and find out, well, you're not going to get the job you're entitled to because you're the wrong this, you're the wrong that. Why should they give a she-male a job over a male? I mean, let's start with that. Should a she-male be given an advantage, let's say, as a fireman? Well, in San Francisco, yes. Only she-males need apply for a special sub-program of a sub-department of the sub-morons who run the city, for example. I'm exaggerating, of course, but no, I'm not too far from the truth. As you know, Through the Looking Glass was a book written by the man who wrote Alice in Wonderland. In fact, Through the Looking Glass was a part of Alice in Wonderland, where everything was seen backwards. The society we're living in today in America is almost through the looking glass, where everything that Obama does, everything the Democrats do, everything Harry Reid does, everything they say is through the looking glass. It's all upside down and backwards. It's been called a million things. I'll call it unfairness. It's that simple. If you want to talk about affirmative action horror stories, we're open for business. We also have the other story of Amnesty for Illegals with Jeb pushing amnesty for illegal aliens. We have McCain pushing for war. We have Michelle Obama explaining how to use salad dressing. We have the conference on the Hollywood sex scandal lawsuits, which is, I'm sorry to tell you, quite salacious. It's not quite as important as affirmative action. But I think that we should play a little of the Hollywood sex scandal, because what would life be like without a Hollywood sex scandal? So let's begin with clip six on the Savage Nation.
We've alleged that there's a Hollywood sex ring, one of several Hollywood sex rings. This one in particular surrounded itself at the home of Mark Collins Rector and a guy named Chad Shackley, who had a home they called the M&C Estate. And as we alleged last week in the Brian Singer case, is there were numerous parties that took place at these homes where underage boys were brought, including Mike, and that at these parties they were given drugs, they were given alcohol, sometimes they were threatened, sometimes they were given gifts and promised roles in movie, what we call being groomed.
I am just shocked to believe this. I cannot believe that anyone in Hollywood would sleep with young boys. That's number one. I don't think that's true, because you know they support family values. I mean, we know that Hollywood supports the church. I mean, why would anyone believe this lawyer? Just a greedy lawyer. We know there's no sleeping around with boys in Hollywood. I mean, they support the church, family values. They support traditional marriage. They're on the up and up. Why would anyone in Hollywood ever believe? Why would you ever believe anyone in Hollywood would do such horrible things? I mean, this is just a greedy lawyer, obviously. So let's listen to the next clip seven. We know he's lying, because this couldn't have gone on in the Hollywood that we know. Let's hear seven.
So three of those men we filed lawsuits against today, alleging that they are part of this ring, and that all three, and individually, each of these men had sexually abused Mike, starting when he was about 15 years old. In California and up through the trips in Hawaii.
Up through the trips to Hawaii. Now there are names to them, then, and these are all accusations, and as you well know in America, unless you're a conservative white male, you're innocent until proven guilty. So let's go to the last one, please. Clip 10, the mother. The mother
in third name, and the third lawsuit I filed today was against David Newman. We allege that David Newman was a participant in the Hollywood sex ring, that he participated in supplying Mike with drugs and alcohol, coerced him into having sex.
I want to thank every one of you, each and every one of you, because 14 years ago, I don't think any of you would have been here. I don't think anyone would have been here. I wrote every news channel. I wrote every magazine, every talk show host. Everybody, from Oprah to 2020 to 60 Minutes, I can't tell you the hundreds of letters to attorneys. Nobody wanted to do anything because of the high-profile people involved.
Well, you can't believe this mother. As you well know, she's just simply trying to get her son a job. I mean, nobody would have molested her son. You understand that. As I say, I mean, I'm not pouring on sarcasm here. I'm being perfectly realistic. Hollywood has supported the traditional family. You know they're in love with the church. You know that most of the guys in Hollywood go to church on Sunday. They're not having sex parties anywhere. How can anyone believe any of this? I mean, I'm a skeptic at heart. I have to be skeptical of these charges. As you well know, they are church-loving people in Hollywood. They support family values. Look at the marriage rate in Hollywood. Life with Father was written by those in Hollywood. I mean, they're the role models for America. Look at how the young girls behave in Hollywood. This is a wholesome place. This is a clean place. This is a family-oriented industry. How in the world could anyone believe that they would take a young boy and fill him with drugs and then rape him next to a hot tub? That's disgusting. That is simply disgusting to believe that the former head of Disney Television would do a thing like that. I mean, Disney of all things. Look at these fine, upstanding individuals who have been accused. I mean, the head of Disney Television. How could you believe that? Disney is such a fabulous, family-oriented organization. And to accuse this guy, Ancier, the former president of BBC Worldwide America, that's impossible. To accuse another man who headed the Fox Entertainment Group, that can't be so. It's a conservative outlet. And to accuse a man named Newman of seducing and raping young boys, as I said, he's the former president of Disney TV. This is impossible. I think this is just a greedy attorney who is simply trying to hold up and dismiss the fine reputation of the Hollywood sewer pipe. 855-400-7282. If you care to comment upon that, don't, because we're going to talk about something far more important. But I needed to get this on the air because it's pretty sickening. If you steal a young child's dignity, if you steal a young child's sense of self-respect, you've killed the child for life. The child never gets over it. Never. Never. There's no curing rape. There's no curing molestation. There is healing it, but there's no curing it. That child will live with it for the rest of his life. It will affect the child. It will affect the child's children. And that is why this crime must be punished to the full extent of the law. Now, if there really is a Hollywood pedophilia ring, boy, would I like to see that one exposed. I would love it, but I have no faith that this will get very far. Boys were the target, little boys. Well, you know they have more money than God himself, and you know that they've already hired one of the most powerful attorneys in the country to countersue, and you know where this is going to go, don't you? You know where it's going to go. All I can tell you is this. If you have a child who aspires to be an actor or an actress, do everything in your power to stop them. Don't let them go into that sick, polluted world, because there's no question, no matter what fame they may achieve, no matter what money they may make, it is not a life they're ever going to be happy with, ever. Ever. Don't believe the propaganda that they're in 24/7 parties, they're always happy. If that were true, they wouldn't all be in, it wouldn't be such a high rate of rehab and drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and suicide. The chances are that your child will be molested or raped within a year of arriving in Hollywood in order to get to base one. Ask anybody who's ever worked there. Ask anyone who's ever gotten anywhere if they have been able to get anywhere without submitting to the Caesars of Hollywood. I don't think I have to say any more on this. Discourage your children from a thespian career. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Hey, isn't it interesting how the revolutionary movement of Fidel Castro was supposed to bring fairness to the Cuban people, when in fact it just plunged the entire nation into servitude for the last, I don't know what, 60 years now? How many years has it been since he stole the country from the people in the name of the people? And nothing's ever changed. We can spend a whole show on what it was like under Batista and how the poor were in very bad shape under Batista and the country was being pillaged by the upper classes and the mob, but how Castro destroyed everything for everybody, especially the middle class, which was wiped out by his communist philosophy, very much along the lines of what's going on in the United States of America on a minor note. I know you laugh at it, but it's the same mentality, you know, talking about fairness, raising taxes, constantly saying he's in favor of the middle class while he's stealing from the middle class. You get the picture. And that goes right to today's show, which is Affirmative Action, which is about the greatest robbery that you can commit. When you steal a man's birthright, you steal everything from him. That's what affirmative action is, period. You steal a man's birthright, you steal everything from him. You understand that? Let's go to WJR in Detroit. Tom, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. Been listening to you for many years. Don't want to waste any time. And I still cannot believe that you are preaching government at all. I mean, I don't understand why you, after seeing the Democrats, the Republicans...
Well, what do you mean preaching? I don't understand. What do you mean by preaching government at all? I'm not following you.
You're even switching sides right now to you know, point the billionaires out who are abusing us, which I'm totally with it. But, I mean, where does it end? Do we need government?
Yes, of course we need government. You're not telling me that you think that this chaotic nation could run by itself.
We don't... Why is there a nation? We're just people. We're just here. I just work for myself.
Well, animals are just animals, but even animals have rules in the jungle. Without rules, there's no possibility for a sane society. You need some governing body, don't you?
Well, you believe in the free what's the word I'm looking for?
Let's not be naive here. You're not saying that anarchy is the system that you propose for America, are you?
Well, it does. Yes and no.
Well, let me make it simple for you. When you go out on a road, don't you need a red light, a green light, and a yellow light in order to know when to stop and when to go?
Do we need government to do that?
Well, wait a minute. I asked you, when you go out on a highway, a busy road, a busy thoroughfare, don't you need some traffic lights, some signs to control the flow of traffic? Otherwise, you'd have people driving on the wrong side of the road and going backwards.
I agree, but do we...
All right, so let's start with that simple premise. If you need a traffic light on a street, don't you need some laws in the marketplace of ideas in order to keep people from banging into each other? I mean, without laws, there'd be a total jungle.
Yes, I totally agree, but does it...
So where am I going wrong in your mind?
Okay, I'll give you an example. eBay. I've actually been listening to a few ideas, and eBay is a giant company. And they monitor things.
All right, but what does it have to do with you saying I'm going all over the map and I'm supporting something you don't agree in? I don't understand what eBay has to do with it.
I'm trying to present the idea that we do not, in a free market system, need government. eBay markets itself or regulates and polices itself and does.
Well, going back to ancient Roman times, my friend, they even had government inspectors of scales in ancient Rome because crooked butchers and crooked bakers set the scales to be rigged against the consumer. So they needed inspectors of weights and measures. So it's not the first time in human civilized history that you needed some kind of government intervention to make sure that things are run right. You're not telling me that the FDA doesn't do some reasonable things. Otherwise, we would have adulterated food and water everywhere you turned. I mean, see, there's a limit to where your anti-government mentality goes, and you have to understand that there should be a healthy limit to it. We have too much government right now by about 30 to 40%, my opinion. But let's get back to affirmative action. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282.
Earth Angel. I mean, I need a break from this amnesty affirmative action talk. How much can a man's heart take? I've been doing it for too many years, I mean, when you think about it. It's been going on forever, this social engineering by the illegitimate, radical, vermin left. I mean, do people have a right to a house, to a home? Where is it written in the Constitution that you have a right to a house? Show me where it's written in the U.S. Constitution that you have a right to a house. But the government should give you a house? Where is it written that you have a right to eat as well as those who work for a living? Is it written somewhere that you have the right to that? No, it's not written anywhere. That's what society's been about from the beginning of time. If you don't like your lot in life, you're supposed to get really angry. You're supposed to get mad as hell, and then you decide to do something about it. The lunatics go out and hold people up. The smart ones take that rage and turn it into learning. They go to school, and they wait, and they get a job, and then they get even through their career or their job, or they get even through their art, or they get even through their sports abilities. That's how a civilized society works. But when a government steps in and says, we don't like those rules because, let's say, there are too many short white men from Israel on the NFL, and we have to make certain that we have fewer short men from Israel on football teams, and we're going to put people of another race. You get the picture? I mean, where does affirmative action begin and end? Maybe short white men from Israel wanted to be on football teams, but they couldn't be on football teams, so they learned to build a nation instead. You get the picture in reverse. Sometimes I have to do it one way in order for you to get it the other. You understand that one? Whatever. Well, here in San Francisco, you've got the technical companies creating a phenomenal boom in construction, in jobs, boom for the economy, and then you have the miscreants in the city who do nothing for a living but smoke pot and trash the city, trying to block the buses going to Google. Do you understand what that's all about? That's anarchy. And the police have to step in and arrest the anarchists and get them out of the way of society before society collapses entirely. Here in the city, wherever you go south of the Market Street area, in San Francisco, there's a crane in every direction. The money is pouring into the city. Buildings are going up everywhere. Who is building it? Who's funding it? The homeless? The pot-headed bums? No. It's business that's funding it. So let's not be unrealistic in what you want and what you don't want. Anyway, that's the story. We're talking about the Supreme Court in today saying Michigan has a right to knock affirmative action out. Unfortunately, it's only in Michigan. Okay? Only in Michigan. Many of the other states still have the social engineering known as affirmative action, the curse upon the land that's creating racism from top to bottom and racial enmity from top to bottom. By the way, this is only in Michigan, even though the Supreme Court upheld it. So the other states now have to go and amend the constitutions of the state and say no to these things. Do you understand that? 855-400-7282, Mike on WABC in New York, where Michael Savage is king. What's on your mind?
I'm wondering if now President Obama's most recent social program, where whites need not apply and it's only help for underprivileged or black males, I'm wondering if maybe the Supreme Court will find
out. Oh, you mean Obama's racist plan, My Brother's Keeper? Well, that's interesting because Obama's so clever. He said it was going to be a private program that only corporations would be doing. And so he's coerced or strong-armed corporations into granting these deals only to children of color, where white men need not apply and women of any color need not apply. Why is Obama helping only boys, by the way, of African or Latino heritage, Hispanic heritage? Where are the girls? Why are they not allowed in on this? But you'll have to ask someone else that. That's a psychological question, not a political one. These callers are excellent, by the way. If you have a real strong affirmative action story, I'd like to hear it. Steve on WMAL in Washington, D.C., welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I am an American of Mexican descent, and with regard to affirmative action, I reject it. I have rejected it for the last 36 years, and my reason or rationale is that, quite simply, a lot of these young children or kids are not ready for the college study, what I call a battle rhythm or discipline, and they will fall into a huge pit hole. That's all I really...
Well, what happens is a lot of kids are pushed into the most competitive colleges based on their race. And then they drop out, they can't keep up, and people who are not of that race look at them and say, look at that, none of them can make it without the help of the government, which is not true. And that creates even a furtherance of the enmity in this country. That's another reason to argue against affirmative action.
That's totally correct. And one other comment I'd like to make, your Spanish is much better than mine.
But who's Spanish?
Twice in high school. You're Spanish, doctor.
Well, no. I wish to God I had, I studied Spanish for 7 years. I struggled with it. I read Spanish literature, which I enjoyed. I love Cervantes in particular, but I cannot speak Spanish except in the most rudimentary fashion, such as lavados los manos before touching my sandwichio, something like that. Or I speak gardener Spanish, I speak waiter Spanish. I wish to God I could speak more of the language. I wish I was fluent in languages like Spanish. I'm not. It's funny, I switched out of Spanish. I was in high school, I studied it. I had trouble with Spanish. I don't know why. I went to college and I took Spanish as my first language. I, again, had trouble with it. I was getting D's in it. And I said, I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't master this language. And so I switched to French. And there was something odd. I did better in French. I got C's. I was never good at languages. And I think that there are some people who are just better at languages than others. I knew uneducated men, people who never went to college, who could speak fairly well in six or seven languages when I was a young boy. It was pretty common in my father's antique store to meet some what call uneducated men who spoke six languages. I don't know how they did it. They were on the waterfront. They were seamen. I don't know what it was. I mean seamen, S-E-A-M-E-N, not the type from Hollywood I'm talking about. And you have to put the A in the word. You understand? They were seamen. And as a result of being seamen, they could speak, I don't know, C and no, and they could speak six or seven languages. I don't know how they did it. I never had a facility for language. I think if you have a great facility for language, you probably have a great facility for mathematics as well. And I'm not particularly strong in mathematics either. It's very interesting. I'm very good in language, in my own language. I'm very good in imagining things. I have a very good imagination. I'm very good in conceptualizing things. but I'm not very good at memorizing things, which is why I was never good in languages or mathematics. It's that simple. I admire people who are. I have found my place. It took me my whole life. Radio is the place I was looking for all my life, and I didn't know what it was, because if it wasn't affirmative action, I wouldn't have found myself. So I have to be thankful for the social engineers. Otherwise, I'd be just a probably retired liberal college professor, you know, marching for global warming and for legalization of marijuana, marching for same-sex marriage with all of the other hysterical maniacs from the colleges living on tenured retirements. So I was cauterized as a result of affirmative action, turned into a much, I would say, a much harder person, a much more realistic person, because they stole my birthright. But I wouldn't give in because I'm an immigrant son. And I said, no, you're not stealing my birthright. It took me many, many years to make up for what was done to me. And I'll never forget as long as I live what the ACLU wrote about affirmative action when they were first jamming it down our throats. They said that some people's lives will have to be put on hold that others may advance. Well, I was the person whose life had to be put on hold. Unfortunately, I had two young children. I'd worked very hard for what I thought was going to be a college professor's career. And they said to me, basically, you need not apply because you're white. I thought that was crazy. I said, but what about all the books I've written? What about the fact that I have a great PhD from a real university? Sorry, you need not apply. We have to make room for women and minorities and illegal aliens. They come ahead of you. I said, what do you mean they come ahead of me? My grandfather waited online. He was an immigrant. He rode in the back of the bus and died at 47 of a heart attack so his grandson could do better. He could be man-child in the promised land. Well, you're laughing at me right now, but I swear as God is my witness, there was a day that came at the University of California at Berkeley when the National Science Foundation sent out a bunch of puffy white men to talk about special programs for women only. Well, here I was, a young guy, young family, great PhD. I wanted a job in science. Well, I stood up with my heart pounding. At that time, I was not a talk show host. It was very hard for me to just stand up in an audience and speak my mind. I stood up and I said, well, what about white men? Why are you excluding men from this NSF program for women? The whole audience laughed at me. And the puffy little white men bureaucrats looked and said, ah, what do you expect? We're at Berkeley. And the audience derided me even further. That was one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. And that's what drove me into radio. That's what drove me into a 20-year career, which, as I would say, brought me to the heights of both broadcast and literary fame. And you can laugh at it all you want. It doesn't matter whether you laugh or not. You're not going to change nor distort reality. One thing you should know is you can't keep a good man down. It's that simple. And you got to learn, you got to teach your children that life is unfair, that people are going to come after your child based upon anything that may be different about him, whether it be a mole on his nose or the way he talks. Whether he has a hunch on his back or one of his shoulders is sloped, that kid will be picked upon. And that's the human condition. So what? So you got to teach your child to deal with it. You know, yesterday I was riding my bike after the show, and I passed a group of neighborhood boys. I don't know how old they were, 7, 8 years old. In this case, it was in the white suburbs. And I listened to the kids playing stickball in the streets. It was the same as when I was a little kid, 7. Nothing has changed. The kids were deriding each other, ridiculing each other, challenging each other. I was thrilled. I was thrilled to hear them picking on each other, yelling at each other, telling each other they were crazy, saying that they called the thing wrong, that he did catch it, he did touch him. I got a kick out of it. I said that maybe there is hope for the world, that even little skinny white boys in the suburbs can still yell at each other without looking over their shoulder to see if some mean-faced, clipped-haired government controller is listening in. I'll be right back.
Eric. Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We're talking about affirmative action. There's a few footnotes to this. One is that Sonia Sotomayor, who would never have been put on the Supreme Court, were it not for affirmative action, probably wouldn't have gotten to step two without affirmative action, has shown herself to be, let us say, a little light in the brain department. She actually suggested that Michigan voters are racist for having voted against affirmative action. Well, Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, God bless him, faulted Sonia Sotomayor for making what he regarded as a shameful suggestion that the Michigan voters who decided to ban AA in college admissions were motivated by racism. Here's what he said. As Justice Harlan observed over a century ago, our Constitution is colorblind and neither knows nor tolerates classes among citizens, Scalia concluded. The people of Michigan wish the same for their governing charter. It would be shameful for us to stand in their way. And then he gave a parting shot to the most brilliant woman in the history of the Hispanic race. And he said, and doubly shameful to equate the, quote, majority behind the constitutional amendment with, quote, the majority responsible for Jim Crow, he added, in a final footnote citing the first two pages of the most brilliant Latina's dissent. You see, the brilliant Latina Sotomayor in her dissent opened by describing three stages of the majority discriminating against racial minorities in the political process, beginning with, again, the Jim Crow laws that flouted the 15th Amendment. The fact of the matter is it has nothing to do with Jim Crow laws, and she knows it. And she should know better. But then, of course, where would life be without a little comedy? The good news is that Michigan voters were supported today by the U.S. Supreme Court. The bad news is that many states in the country still discriminate based on race and put many people's lives on hold. As a result, we have fire girls who can't hold a hose, policemen who are easily overpowered by criminals because they're not big enough for the job. You can laugh all you want at that. And I certainly believe that we need women in the police departments across America. But you know and I know, we've talked about it before, in almost every case that I have seen of a policeman being overpowered by a criminal and a gun being seized, it's been a woman who's been overpowered by a powerful criminal. You just have to use common sense to understand that you cannot put women in every position in a police department any more than you can put a woman in every position on a battlefield. You may want it to be that way, but it's not that way. It's not the way the world works. But, okay, keep going and living in your own, college world of fairness, and you'll understand why the country is in such disrepair. The real world and the fantasy world of liberalism are two different things. WABC New York, Mike, your opinion on affirmative action, fire away.
Two points. One kind of confirms what you just said, which is that it punishes the wrong person. It doesn't punish the person who actually committed the offense, so to speak. It punishes an innocent party, such as yourself.
Yeah, but what was the offense that was committed? Where was the offense committed to begin with? What offense?
It was discrimination in the past against the... Against
all right, so what? So I have to pay for what somebody did 100 years ago? I'm supposed to pay for their sins? This is reparations. You see, affirmative action is reparations by other means. And I'm not going to pay for someone else's sins. Let them go to the inheritors of the Saudi Arabian Empire, the original slaveholders, and the descendants of such.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
This is the Savage Nation.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has been nominated for the 2014 Nobel Peace Prize. You know, I laugh at the Nobel Peace Prize. I call it the Dynamite Prize. Isn't it ironic that all of this money was built upon murder, death, destruction, blowing things up? Nobel Peace Prize, right? Why not? Alfred Nobel invented dynamite. And they gave Obama a Nobel Prize when he sneezed. He sneezed. He got a Nobel Prize for that.
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
The Savage Nation. Weekdays, noon till 3. Hot Talk 560.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We are talking about the news of the day, and it's one of the biggest news days of the whole year. The Supreme Court of the United States of America upheld the ban on affirmative action in Michigan, a law that bans the practice of advancing people in state university admissions based on their race. It was a 6-2 vote, with Justice Elena Kagan recused because she had been involved in an earlier phase of this case, and the court made it clear that the people had a right to amend their state constitution to eliminate race in hiring. The fact of the matter is affirmative action programs were first advocated in the 1960s to make up for past discrimination against racial minorities. But most Americans today have said enough is enough. Michigan is only one of 8 states to ban affirmative action. The others are Arizona, California, Florida, Nebraska, New Hampshire, Oklahoma, and Washington. And it's very important you understand that this vote will affect you and your children for years to come. The only dissenting votes came from two of the most off the board, out of touch, out of the ken of America, members of the court, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, who never would have gotten anywhere without affirmative action, and the former head of the ACLU legal department, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. How in the world they could have taken someone from the ACLU and put her on the Supreme Court to begin with was a shock. But then again, that's another story. The fact of the matter is the Supreme Court ruled today, and it's now the law of the land. What's shocking to me is that I've been monitoring the 3 cable channels all afternoon during my program today. Not one of them is covering this. Fox, CNN, MSNBC, they're not covering it. And I can understand why the liars on the left wouldn't cover the Supreme Court case. It's because they don't want you to get the idea that they're losing anywhere. But why would Fox not be making this the keynote article of the day, the keynote story? I don't understand it. It's a huge story, and I've been asking people to call with affirmative action horror stories because many of you have lived through the terror of this social engineering. This has been like the French Revolution to most Americans of the wrong particular race or sex or sexual orientation. That's what it's been. But you see, what you don't understand is that affirmative action has also been detrimental to minorities as well. I know minorities who came from wealthy middle-class families. I know one family in particular. They were children of, they were African-American. Their father was a surgeon. Their mother was a judge. They were quite well off. And yet the kids cashed in on affirmative action. They said, why not? If they're going to give it to me, why shouldn't I take it? Well, obviously, affirmative action wasn't meant to help kids of affluent families, even though they're minorities, but yet they are qualified for it. So if you're going to have any kind of affirmative action, I think it should be based upon economics, not race. You want to give someone a start in life who has had a disadvantage, make it racially neutral and give it to kids who don't have a family with any connections or any money. That's a different kind of affirmative action. But I don't see that being said. Instead, it's based on race only, so that's why I oppose it. I mean, when I was young and I had no family connections, I wish to God that somebody would have reached down and said, oh, poor boy. Poor boy, your father was an immigrant. We're going to help you. Well, no one did that. It was sink or swim. It was that simple. My father taught me that that's the way it would be, and that's the way it is. It's sink or swim. That's your whole life. I didn't know what sink or swim meant, but I sure learned pretty quickly. You know, you throw a dog into water when he's a puppy. Either he learns to swim through his instincts or he drowns. And you have to fish him out with a pool net. But the fact is, most dogs can swim if you throw them in the water. Isn't that right? You throw a dog in water, that dog is going to get freaked out and he's going to swim out of the pool. Well, that's what you do with your kids. You teach your kids to fight. Survival of the fittest. Do you know where they're going to wind up? At the bottom of the pool. That's where they're going to wind up. And as a result, right now, many white boys are at the bottom of the pool. They've pushed women ahead of the boys. Take a look at the graduation rates in colleges. Take a look at the depression, the sadness, the drug use, and the suicides amongst white boys. And tell me it's not tied to the social engineering in this society, which has aimed all of their guns at white males. Now, maybe you're not expecting to hear any of this. And maybe you're saying, wait a minute, is this guy making this up or is it right? I'll let you decide. You decide on your own. It's one man's opinion. The only difference between my opinion and that of the government is that you can call me and disagree with me. You have recourse with talk radio. Never forget that. You dial 855-407-282, and you don't get on the show. And the reason you don't get on the show is you have to go through Pedro, and he's not going to let you on the show because two reasons. One, he's Latino. Number two, the lines are full. And three, he doesn't want to do any more work, and I don't blame him. Why should he take any more calls? I mean, every line is full. They've been full from the beginning. I mean, truthfully, I knew this topic would excite the audience. I knew it from day one because affirmative action has ruined many lives. Maria, WABC in New York, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation. Maria, you still there? I think Marie hung up. Okay. 855-400. Jimmy on KSFO, San Francisco. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I wanted to ask you if you would support open borders if we were to end the welfare state here in America.
No, I wouldn't.
And I was wondering why that would be.
Okay, what you're trying, you're playing a very good game of checkers, but I'm playing electronic chess. I see where you're coming from. You're trying to say that I oppose amnesty for economic reasons. I do oppose it for economic reasons, but not solely for economic reasons. The motto of this show is borders, language, and culture. If you flood America with 30 million individuals from another culture that is rather alien to our way of life, you're going to warp our culture, don't you think?
Well, I think it could definitely have an effect on the culture. Whether it would be a negative one or not, I'm not entirely convinced.
Well, how could it be a positive one if many of these immigrants refuse to learn English? They don't know who George Washington was. They don't know the name of the 50 states. They've never had to take a citizenship test. How can you see them as full citizens if they won't respect the history or the laws of the land?
Well, I think perhaps it could be, an issue less of whether these people are able to be a part of the culture and more whether they'll be able to, effectively create business here if they're not able to communicate with the people around them. I think.
Well, wait a minute. There's more to a nation than the bottom line. Unfortunately, we've lost our soul because we have nothing but bureaucrats and technocrats as leaders. There's much more to a nation than the mere bottom line. Of course, the bottom line is important, and without it, you don't have a country at all. But I would argue that a nation's traditions, its borders, its language, its culture, as I put it, are defining in terms of what a nation actually is. And if you have individuals who don't speak your language, refuse to learn the language, don't have any stake in learning a language because the liberals have bent the rules in order to accommodate them, you're going to warp the state of the nation permanently. And I can't see how you're going to warp it for the betterment of mankind, for the nation, rather.
Well, what I would say is that if you don't know how to speak English and you go to a predominantly English-speaking country and there's no other motivations and people in that country are not particularly apt to adapting to your language, it's going to be unlikely that you're going to want to stay. I think
unlikely that you're going to... No, that doesn't make sense. If you go to Italian communities in this country, you will still see Italian neighborhoods, Italian grocery stores. You go to Chinese communities, you still see signs in Chinese. For Flushing, New York, San Francisco's Chinatown, all the signs are in Chinese. And yet the people speak English, don't they?
I think that's also, a representation of government coming in and saying, look, we're now going to post signs in this way and creating that accommodation, which...
No. We didn't post signs. They didn't post any signs. The signs are in Mandarin, primarily in Chinatown. But the point is that the people still speak English. The smart ones went to college or sent their children to school, understanding that unless the children moved ahead through education, they were always going to have a menial job. But that's not the same with the wave of immigrants we're getting today, where they say, screw the country. We don't want to learn the language. We don't like it. They deride our country. They look down on our nation and our traditions. There's no requirement that they become an American through hard work. I had a producer who was of Korean ancestry. His mother walked out of North Korea in the winter with nothing but a clothing on her back. She got to America through the greatest hardship you could ever imagine. And she had to become in order to become an American citizen, she had to study to become an American citizen. She had to learn the language. She had to learn the history. She knows more about the history of this country than I do, to be frank with you. And she's proud that she became a citizen that way. What I'm trying to tell you is it was once a requirement that to be a citizen, you had to pay the price of being a citizen. It wasn't given to you like out of a gift out of a Cracker Jack box. They didn't give it to you in the Department of Motor Vehicles has just handed it out to you. So I don't agree with you that people respect the nation simply because they're here. And I don't believe that just because we don't speak every foreign language, that something wrong with our country. In San Francisco, do you know that the ballots are in 6 to 10 languages? How else do you think we have such a low caliber of representation in California, other than the fact that non-citizens are not only permitted to vote, but encouraged to vote? How else could you see an individual like Barbara Boxer or Dianne Feinstein being elected over and over and over again, were it not for the illegal alien vote? Do you think that they're loved that much by the population at large in California? You know it's not true. Even liberals have had enough of these dowagers. Even liberals have had enough of Nancy Pelosi, but they can't get rid of them. That's why Nancy Pelosi washes the feet of illegal aliens. Without the illegal aliens, she wouldn't be the speaker of this or the speaker of that. Okay, it's as simple as that. They count on them. Without the illegal alien, the liberal establishment would collapse entirely because the people don't support them. Again, it's one man's opinion. It's that simple. It's one man's opinion. You don't have to agree with me. If you don't, it's your problem. Go to another radio show. Or call 855-407-2822. Or write your congressman. There's about 1,000 and some days left of this regime. In these 1,000 days, this president could break the nation and lead us into 100 years of darkness, which is why I fight. It's why I get up in the morning, infidels. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. We're talking about affirmative action horror stories. I'm really still quite shocked that the networks, the cable networks, are so out of touch with reality, Fox included, that they haven't talked about the Supreme Court case today. It's just unbelievable to me. Are they that far behind real time that they couldn't switch gears and talk about this affirmative action case? I don't understand it, unless they're just afraid of the minority audiences. I really don't understand it. We then have McCain pitching for war in the Ukraine and Syria. We had the Hollywood sex scandal, the rape scandal, three executives named as alleged abusers. And we have not yet gotten to Michelle Obama explaining how to use salad dressing after her recent excesses and her trips around the world. I think we'd like to hear clip 5, if we can stop fiddling with the camera. I'd like to hear clip number 5 of Michelle Obama explaining how to use salad dressing, if we can find that one, in the midst of all of the deal. Let's hear Mrs. Obama.
And you see how the chef is mixing the dressing. I mean, dressing is supposed to be an enhancement. It's not supposed to be the meal. You know,
exactly.
So you're not really supposed to have, like, extra dressing at the bottom of your... That means you've had too much dressing. And it also makes the vegetables, it wilts them. And it takes all the excitement out of it. So you'll notice that when you get professional salads out at a restaurant, one of the reasons why they taste so good is that they don't overdress it.
Now, you know, this is embarrassing. A woman as intelligent as Michelle Obama to think that talking about salad dressing at a time like this is going to enhance the office of the First Lady or the name Obama is beyond comprehension. The world is on fire because of her husband's policies. From Libya to Syria, the Arab world is in flames. The economy is upside down except for the extremely wealthy. I don't have to go down the litany of problems that we have right now. Why in the heck is Michelle Obama ranting on about salad dressing? Why? Why is the media not ranting on about the high court upholding the affirmative action ban? Why? The answer is because that's the way it is. Now I'll take your calls because that's the way it goes. WMAL in Washington. Donna, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. You've been spot on today. And my experience is that I learned very young that life is unfair, and it was during the late Carter years, a wonderful time in our history, that I experienced a what I call discrimination. There was a person, a minority person, who sat with me in a waiting room waiting to apply for a job, and we got to discussing the position, and she told me she had no experience, and I replied I had 3 years' experience. We both went in, we sat out, waited for the manager. The manager hired her on the spot and sent me home. It was a bitter pill. I swallowed it, but I learned from it.
What did you learn?
I learned that life goes on. You have to have a stiff upper lip, as my mother used to tell me, and you go on to the next interview as if you never had the previous.
Yeah, well, how about if you went to 65 interviews to become a college professor with a straight A average from a great university, and they said white males need not apply, and you collected your rejection letters like it was a joke, and you put them in a drawer. At a certain point, you turn from mirth to anger to rage to becoming something that I don't even want to describe on this show. Affirmative action is an abomination. It's un-American. It never, ever should have been permitted in this country. And even if it should have been permitted in the 1960s, it should have been dead a long time ago, which is why five states have outlawed it. But it doesn't stop the corporations from using it. What you don't understand is that corporations today are using affirmative action in a more regular fashion and in an escalated version in a way that the states and the federal government wouldn't dare to do it. It's a Frankenstein that's out of control. Go try to get a corporate job and see what happens. And take a look at the Human Resources Department and see what happens. And you'll understand why liberalism is a mental disorder and why liberalism must be stricken from the earth before it kills all of us and before all fairness is wiped off the planet.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Chelsea Clinton last week, she announced that she is expecting her first child. That's great. That's great for her. Yeah, if it's a girl, it'll get some of Chelsea's old hand-me-downs, and if it's a boy, it'll get some of Hillary's. It's very, a little pantsuit.
See, they had a boo. The druggies in the audience don't like that.
It wasn't that hard of a joke.
I am so tired of Hillary. Okay, turn it off already. So it shows you even a left-wing comedian dare say something against the anointed female, and already the moron drug addicts in the audience start to bray like the morons that they are. I'll let it go with that. But we're talking about a Supreme Court decision that will affect everyone listening to the show and their children for years to come. And that was a punch in the nose for affirmative action. This is the greatest news I've heard in many a year, because the left never stops trying to pervert the law and the will of the people. And in this case, the will of the people has been heard by the Supreme Court. At the same time, we have Jeb Bush bushing amnesty. We have Jeb Bush bushing amnesty, demanding more high-tech visas, in other words, doing the bidding of Mr. Facebook and the others who want cheaper labor. I want you to listen to number clip 14 of Jeb Bush bushing amnesty. Clip 14, please, if we can get that going.
We need to fix our broken immigration system and rebuild one that is true to our immigrant heritage and economically driven. That would include a serious effort to protect our borders, of course, enforce our laws, and sanction companies that knowingly hire undocumented workers.
Okay, so he wants amnesty. Listen to clip 15, please.
It would include a robust guest worker program, the expansion of economic visas like H-1B visas, the elimination of country quotas, and creating a tough but fair path to legalize.
Let me explain what H-1B visas are. That's cheap labor for Facebook founder Zuckerberg and the other greedy pigs in the tech sector who want cheaper labor. There are millions of unemployed or underemployed American tech workers who have been thrown out of jobs so that these greedy billionaire pigs can make more money. There's no question about it. Don't tell me I'm attacking the rich. I'm attacking the pigs. And for them to buy Jeb Bush like this is disgusting. So let me tell you what's coming, whether we like it or not. The oligarchy could give a damn less what you and I think or what 99% of the American people think. The oligarchy wants cheap labor. The oligarchy wants lower-priced workers, not only in the fields, make no mistake about it, but the greedy pigs who run the tech industry, who have tens of billions of dollars, are so psychotically greedy that they don't want to pay an American worker a fair wage for their work. Instead, they want to flood the country with more H-1B visas, mainly from India, from China, and from the other nations that are producing highly skilled technical workers who could take the job, but instead of paying them $75 an hour, they like to pay them $25 an hour. That's the only reason Zuckerface is pushing amnesty for illegals. It's simply the bottom line. Zuckerface simply wants cheaper labor. Zuckerface could care less about illegals, in my opinion. Zuckerface does not care about the dignity of the illegal alien. Zuckerface cares only about the future of Facebook. Zuckerface simply wants the cheapest labor he could possibly get, in my opinion. And so when I see these hypocrites marching arm in arm like they're Martin Luther King Jr., I laugh. I say, how many dumb people can there be to believe that Mark Zuckerface really cares about illegal aliens? I mean, it's as simple as that. It's about dollars and cents. And the Chamber of Commerce, as you can see through their candidate, Jeb Push, no matter what you think, they're going to pass amnesty after the midterm elections. The Republicans could care less about the what happens after 2014. And so you have to see what's coming, and you have to prepare for it. If you didn't like what Harry Reid said about the standoff in the desert, you're going to even like less what the power structure is going to do to this country for the sake of the bottom line. And there has to be a march against this. Bush is pushing amnesty as far as he can, as fast as he can. I believe that there has to be a 10-million-man march on Washington to put the fear of God into these oligarchs, because otherwise we have lost the country forever. Okay? Why do you oppose or support affirmative action? Is amnesty for illegal aliens? I oppose it. I oppose it primarily for economic reasons. But why do you oppose or support amnesty for illegal aliens? That's what I want to talk about. I remember what I said to you at the beginning. One of the biggest news stories of the year occurred this morning. The United States Supreme Court this morning upheld Michigan's ban on using race as a factor in college admissions. Did you hear what I just said? It was a huge victory for fairness. And what's even more odd is that a dissent was written by the most brilliant Latina in history, Mrs. Sotomayor. Remember, we were told she's the most brilliant Latina ever invented in the history of mankind? Well, she wrote an opposition opinion that took 58 pages. The 58 pages from the most brilliant Latina was longer than the combined length of the four opinions in support of the outcome. And I suppose it shows if you're really a brilliant person, you have to write more than the others who are not as brilliant as you. They're too stupid to write 58 pages in opposition. But it just shows you how lucky we are to have had affirmative action produce Sotomayor and Kagan on the Supreme Court. Lucky for us, Kagan had to recuse herself because she had involved herself in an earlier stage of this while serving in the Justice Department. The fact of the matter is that race-based hiring, race-based scholarship have no place in America. They never had any place in America. And if we still had a legitimate government in the state of California, Proposition 209 would be the law of the land, not gone around by the government, not of the people, by the people, and for the people, but a government of the criminals, by the criminals, and for the criminals. I want to ask you something. Why do you oppose support affirmative action? Why do you oppose support amnesty for illegal aliens? They're simple questions. Now, the fact of the matter is, what's shocking me is that this story is not being covered by Fox, MSNBC, CNN, or any of the news bureaus. The first question you must ask yourself is, how far have we fallen as a nation with a free press when the biggest story, not only of the day, the week, the month, but perhaps of the year, is affirmative action being knocked out by the Supreme Court? It's hardly to be found on any websites. It's not on the Drudge Report, which I find shocking. That's normally my go-to website. Why is it not on the Drudge Report? Where is it on Fox News? Have any of the hosts talked about it? I have a question for you. Why do you oppose or support affirmative action? Why do you oppose or support affirmative action? Do you have any affirmative action horror stories? Are you a cop? Are you a fireman? Are you a teacher? Are you a student who had straight A average but was pushed aside in order to make certain that a less qualified individual of a different race was given your position or your scholarship? Well, my friends, this is America. And I said this 30 years ago. Without quality, there can be no equality. Remember what I just said. And the only way to guarantee quality is to eliminate jury-rigging the system through affirmative action. While you're calling me at 855-407-282, I'd like someone to tell me why you think this story is not headline news across the land. Because I'm looking on Fox, I don't see the story. It's buried. I will go through the websites. CNN, you'd think they'd cover this story? Iceberg, twice the size of Atlanta, is on the move. No story about affirmative action being punched in the nose by the Supreme Court. Let's go to the other major websites that you may know of. Let's see. We will go to... Ooh, Breitbart doesn't even have it front and center. Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. They managed to slip it in as well. Let's go to the Daily News. Let's see what the Daily News in New York has to say. Wild at heart. Cardiologist racks up $135,000 bill during multiple trips to New York City strip club. I see. That's more important to the New York Daily News than the story about the U.S. Supreme Court punching affirmative action in the nose. You can't even find the story. Now, why do you suppose left-wing newspapers like the Daily News are burying the Supreme Court banning affirmative action? That is saying you cannot use race as a factor in college admissions. Is it because they don't want to offend Al Sharpton and his gang in New York City? What's the reason for that? Let's go to the other web. Well, you go to the other websites. Not my job. It's your job. I go to the websites. I'd like to know if you've had an affirmative action horror story. Even the Los Angeles Times has the story. Court upholds Michigan's ban on affirmative action. Despite all of the minority gangs outside pushing it, despite all the minority pressure groups, despite all of the screams by the illegal alien groups like La Raza and the others, the fact of the matter is affirmative action has no place in America. And let me tell you something else. People who are of minority, let us say, minority people, I don't think that they benefit from affirmative action when people start to question their appearance on college campuses when they got there on their own abilities. Everyone will doubt you forever. That's why we doubt Obama, because most of us know that without affirmative action, he never would have been a U.S. senator, let alone a U.S. president. That's a fact of reality. He achieved nothing in his life to justify being president of the United States. You're listening to the Savage Nation today. Why do you oppose or support affirmative action? Because today the Supreme Court said, niet, no, nada, never to affirmative action. This is the most important thing you're going to hear, not today, but this week, this month, this year. Even if it doesn't affect you, it will affect your children. And I believe in fairness, and all it says is there shall be no racial discrimination against anybody. It didn't say there shall be racial discrimination. It said there shall be no discrimination against anybody. I mean, how could you argue with that? I don't understand this. The court said that race-conscious admissions policies cannot be used. Cannot be used. And it says that voters may prohibit affirmative action programs. This is a huge victory for fairness, the American way. There's no other way to put it. And it finally got back to the Supreme Court where it belonged to begin with. And the justices said in a 6-2 ruling today that Michigan voters had the right to change their state constitution in 2006 to prohibit public colleges and universities from taking account of race in admissions decisions. And more importantly, the justices said that a lower federal court was wrong to set aside the change as discriminatory. So they overrode a lower court. The lower court was almost entirely Democrats, incidentally. So now you understand where the battle lines are drawn in the state of California, the state of Michigan, everywhere else in America. The battle lines are such that the Democrats always vote against fairness while calling themselves the party of fairness. It's as simple as that. We must ban race consciousness in America in order to have any fairness and reduce the resentment that is running throughout the land. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
No one in America wants boots on the ground. I totally accept that. But they keep telling everybody that, don't worry, we're not going to have boots on the ground. We're not going to have boots on the ground.
Right.
Can we go one press conference without saying that?
Okay, so the warmonger McCain, crazy McCain, McCain mutiny court martial, is pushing for aid to the Ukraine with weapons. money to get their economy back on track. Where the money comes from, I guess he can go to his master, Obama, and just print more money. And then he wants, of course, to arm the rebels, so-called, in the Syrian civil war. The rebels, as you know, are primarily driven by, I don't know how else to say it, by Al-Qaeda-oriented terrorists, our enemies. We're going to do exactly what we shouldn't be doing there. This is psychotic. I don't think it will have as much emotional appeal to you as what happened today in the U.S. Supreme Court. You're listening to The Savage Nation today. As we roll into the last part of hour number three today on The Savage Nation, here are all the news headlines. The biggest story is that the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the ban on affirmative action. I said the ban on affirmative action. They said the people have a right to say no to racial preferences. Isn't that amazing? And yet Sotomayor, remember her, the most brilliant Latina ever invented in the history of mankind? Her dissension ran longer than the three opinions of the other justices. Just goes to show you how brilliant she really is. After all, more words mean smarter, doesn't it? At the same time, on the other side of the aisle, Bush pushes amnesty at an Arizona conference. You heard me. First he said it's an act of love to break into America. Now he's saying he needs amnesty, especially H-1B visas, to bring in more tech workers at a lower price. Yeah, right. It's not about helping the poor. It's not about helping immigrants. It's about lowering the cost of labor. That's all it's ever been. At the same time, McCain is calling for war, boots on the ground. He said, can we please stop saying no boots on the ground in Ukraine? Really? Wonder what he does want there. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Let's see what else is in the news. Biden warns Putin to pull back the Russian forces. Ooh, Putin's afraid of Biden. Biden uses water guns, and they can be really wet. Did you know that? What else is in the news? Oh, let's see. The Environmental Protection Agency embarks on Earth Day tour, jetting around the country. Obama will burn 35,000 gallons of fuel on Earth Day, producing 375 tons of carbon dioxide. But what the heck? You see, when he produces carbon dioxide, it's good carbon dioxide. When he burns 35,000 gallons of fuel, it's a good burn because it's a justifiable burn. It's a just burn. It has no tinge of evil in it because anything the master does is good. You get how it works? Sure. Obama, meanwhile, has called for the highest sustained taxation in USA history. Did you hear about that? The highest sustained taxation ever imposed on the American people, according to the Congressional Budget Office. Under Obama's proposal, taxes would rise from 17.6% of GDP in 2014 to 19.2% in 2024. Well, what the heck? Why not make it 100%? America has never been subjected to a 10-year stretch of taxation at this level. In the 12 fiscal years preceding the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, federal taxation averaged 5.3% of GDP. In the fiscal year since World War II, federal taxation averaged 17.1%. But since Obama seized power, it's been much, much higher. And now it's going to be much higher yet, because under Obama's budget proposal, the federal government would add $7.1 trillion to its debt held by the public. How else can his friends get rewarded? Through robbing you. At least that's how most of us see it. But then again, this is Michael Savage. I'm not your uncle. That's it for the day. I thank you very much for listening to The Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. And thanks for making this show the big hit it is.
Savage. 855-400-7282. Savage.